If you would turn with me now to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and then from this we will look at a text. We'll spend a few moments of meditation. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'd like for us to think in reference to our meditation upon that seventh verse, which gives us these words in the first portion. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. A couple months ago when we were here in this Lord's Supper, we also looked at that word precious. And I want us to do it again tonight just for a few moments in thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ as precious. Precious. Of great value, dear, D-E-A-R, beloved, extremely valuable. And some in definitions of the word precious. I have to admit to you that in my experience in the past, as we all come with basic experiences and different situations in life, that I have found it difficult to relate to that word. In some ways, I have thought about it as somewhat of a feminine word. I think of a young lady or a woman coming to the context of a small baby and saying, how precious. So I think of it somewhat as a feminine word. Even though I have a dear brother, I call him a dear brother because that's the word he often uses, who uses the word precious in its right place. And I have to commit to you that I have learned the meaning of precious. There are different ways in which the word is used. We have heard it, of course, we're in the areas of precious metal. I have never held a bar of gold in my hand. I have never held a large, valuable diamond in my hand, only a small one, an inexpensive one, but it did its work. And I learned the meaning of Proverbs 18:22, when it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. My wife is precious. And then there was the blessing from the Lord with three precious little girls. And they still are precious. In God's providence, the oldest one is 50 tomorrow. The other two are visiting with them this weekend. They still are precious. And then God's kindness, each one of them found a man. And I have to admit to you that they are precious. And then as a result of that, there was 11 precious little ones that were given to us. And they too are precious, although a couple of them are not very little. But I can say this today, Sarah, you may not remember this, but you are precious to me. The scriptures tell us concerning someone who is precious and is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is precious. But we ask the question, to whom is Christ precious? Well, this is an important question because not everyone has the idea that Jesus Christ is precious. He's not precious to everyone. But we learn even from this passage that is a privileged class who fit into this category to whom Christ is precious. The text tells us that as a privileged class, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people who proclaim the praises of him who he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. They have tasted that the Lord is gracious in coming to him. They are referred to as a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ. They are a people often forgotten. These are the people who feel the Savior's preciousness. Of all mankind, it is to these who fit into the class of a people to whom he is precious. Another question I want to raise, how do they obtain this precious position? Or how is it that to these people Jesus Christ is precious? The answer is given to us. The answer to this question is given to us in a declaration from God himself through the Holy Spirit in verse 7. And he says this, to you who believe, he is precious. To you who believe, he is precious. To those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is precious. Now this is philosophically as well as scripturally true. There cannot possibly be a felt conviction of the worth of a person, or for that matter, an object, of which we do not have an intelligent and clear perception. There must be something to create interest. There must be something to awaken admiration. There must be something to inspire love. The person or the object must be seen, known about, or experienced. There's a special relationship that is involved with someone who is precious, and in particular, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are taught in our text, the only spiritual faculty or the means that discerns the Lord Jesus Christ and in discerning him realizes his preciousness, the only faculty is faith. Faith. Faith, as the Puritans say, is the spiritual eye to the soul. Faith is the spiritual eye to the soul. Faith sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he is seen, his excellence, his greatness, his significance, his eminence are made known, are revealed by faith. And as his importance is made known, so he becomes an object of endearment to the heart. Precious. I think that's perhaps the best definition of precious. Endearment to the heart. It is then, by faith, the believer can say, how lovely, how glorious is the Lord Jesus. It is because of the clear, discerning eye of faith. Faith sees him, the matchless, unparalleled one. Faith sees the splendor that overshadows everything, everyone, all other beings. Faith sees majesty in his lowliness. Faith sees dignity in his condescension. Faith sees honor in his humiliation. Faith sees beauty in his tears. Faith sees divine and surpassing glory in his cross. Faith is that which declares the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. And brethren, in proportion as the personal dignity and beauty and value of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes clearer to the believing eye, he becomes more sensibly and deeply exalted, more precious, lifted up with a heart's warmest love. The more by faith we see who he is precious. We must know the Lord Jesus to admire him. We must admire him to love him. And we must love him to serve him. To you who believe, he is precious. And then in that light, there's two things I would like to draw our attention to in examining the reality of the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. And the first one is this. As believers, as believers, seeing Christ and the preciousness, we can grasp, we can take in the suitable, how suitable he is for us, how right he is, how sufficient he is, how qualified, how every quality necessary our Lord Jesus does in meeting the needs of our salvation. He is the appointed Savior for sinners. And when we have the view of him by faith and see his beauty and see his value and see who he is, he becomes precious to the soul. And we see him as believers as the just Savior, adapted, perfectly fitted, every requirement that is necessary for soul salvation. He in that sight is the only Savior. You see, when we come to Christ, it's not simply making a choice of being a Christian, a follower of Christ, or some other religion, or some other basis of our hope. He is the only one to the believer. And that's why he's precious. If you had an object that is somewhat similar and you think, no, he's the only one. And when he is the only one who fitted every requirement, that's when he becomes precious to us. The believer can say, I see him as exactly the Savior I need. He's the only one that can meet that requirement. His fullness fills my emptiness. His blood cleanses from guilt. His grace conquers my sin. His patience bears with my infirmities. His gentleness strengthens my weaknesses. His love energizes my obedience. His sympathy soothes my griefs. His personal affection enhances my faith. You see, everything is contained in him. And every need that we have is contained in him. That's why he's precious. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious. He is the just Savior. He is the Savior, just the Savior I need. And then there's no words that can describe his preciousness to our soul. Can we see the value when we see him in his light and who he is as the only Savior for my sins? The believer can say, the Lord Jesus is mine, and I have all things in one, even in the Lord Jesus. He's my all in all. And that's why he becomes precious to the soul. And it is this simple, trembling faith, prominent in its simplicity, and yet strong in its tremblings. It is this faith that can grasp hold of the blessings of the eternal promises of grace. It's that faith. It's that trust. It's that resting in those promises. We can grasp the fullness of the surety of those promises as our hope. Not something we guess about. It's our hope. It's the basis of what's happening to us in the future. And all the fullness of the security, all the promises that have been given to us are ours because of Christ. We can say they are mine because I'm Christ and Christ is mine. Listen, if you and I have come to the Lord Jesus as a poor, empty, believing sinner, there's not a throb of life in his loving heart. There's not a drop of blood flowing from his veins. There's not a particle of grace from his meteorical work for us. There's not a thought of peace toward us in his divine mind that is not yours if you've come to him as a believing sinner. All is yours, inseparably yours, as much yours as if you were the only one to possess it. Is he not precious? If that is the truth, how precious he is. It is all yours. Again, in proportion as we deal with Christ in our individually coming to him and our sincerely trusting on him, in our intentionally living out of him, in our dealing personally with him, as he deals with us, he will gradually introduce himself to our senses and will become growingly precious to our soul. Can you see the direction? Here he is precious. To whom is he precious? He's precious to the believer. And where is our faith? That faith, and the more we have our context, of the more we have the response to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the more precious he becomes, the more he reveals himself to us. To you who believe, he is precious. And so we've looked at him, we see him as believers, we grasp the suitability that he is to us as sinners. And secondly, And finally, as believers, in the particular circumstances of our Christian experience, our Lord Jesus becomes very precious to us. We're talking about in the practical areas of our Christian experience. He becomes precious to us. First example, this is the time when our particular experiences as Christians, we find ourselves in the deep plowing of the Holy Spirit in revealing some of our heart's hidden sinfulness. In God's kindness, when the Holy Spirit reveals more of our innate corruption, the natures that we have by birth, when the Holy Spirit gives a more spiritual perception of sin's exceeding sinfulness, it may come from the ministry of the pulpit as it comes home to our hearts and the Spirit of God just opens up to us. It may come in the context of our experience in life. We look back and say, you know, this last week I have not spent time with the Lord. Realizing the innate corruption that is there, constantly rising, constantly pulling us away from Him. When we have this, when we sense this, when we know this, when the Spirit of God does this to us, how precious then does that finished work of Christ mean to us? Because we come right back to Him and realize that He is our Savior. How precious the blood of Christ that cleanses all of our sins becomes to the soul because of what revelation of who He is to us as sinners. If God is leading us through this experience in our life, this particular stage, we shouldn't find ourselves experiencing simply full of doubts. But we should see this as an experience that God is doing to build up His dear Son before us through the destruction and the ruin of our own merits, the own efforts, through the ineffectiveness of our own strength and through the hopelessness of our own sufficiency, because it's in Him He becomes precious to us. You see, I truly believe this, that our Father, the Lord Jesus, the Father of the Lord Jesus, our Father, would have us love His Son with a love that's like His own. A love that's divine, a love that's supreme, a love that's inexhaustible in its expressions, in its affections. And this can only be felt when we find ourselves as nothing. And so when we go through these experiences and realize the depth of our own sin, the horribleness of our sins, the failures of our Christian experience, and we come back again to see the Savior, then He becomes precious. And that's when we need to see the value of our Savior. So in the circumstances of our Christian life, our Lord is precious to the believer in knowing that when we have these deep plowing of the Spirit of God within our hearts, helping us to see the hidden sinfulness that is there. When we have the revealing of our innate corruption that is so hard and difficult for the believer, we have a perception of the exceedingness of the sinfulness of sin, and we have that picture before us and what it was required for our sins to be forgiven. Then secondly, and a second example in the circumstances of the Christian life, our Lord is precious to the believer in knowing that as a believer, in the circumstances of our Christian and spiritual relapses, we can call this perhaps even backslidings. When we've experienced the failures of our obedience to the Lord, and we've come to sense what we've done, the fact that we need to face Him, and the fact that we are going to face Him one time, but when God's Spirit reveals to us what we are, how precious does the Lord Jesus become to a restored soul? When you've experienced in your life and found yourself disobedience, but then you've come back to the Savior, our shepherd who goes and pursues His strayed sheep and brings them back with great rejoicing. That's our Savior. And that means He is precious to our soul. How unspeakably precious He is. How unspeakably precious He is to us as wandering. And I know that there are situations where there's backsliding, horrible backsliding. But each of us, when we find ourselves failing, and coming back and seeing what a precious Savior He is, reminded again as we have month by month, we see how precious He is when He restores our hearts. We have to admit the reality of our backslidings. They seem to be perpetual. They're loathsome to us. Our affections are inconsistent with what we ought to be. They're changeable. They're wandering. Our faith fluctuates. Our love feigns. Our zeal deteriorates, our walk is often weak and unsteady. But our Lord Jesus does not withdraw his care from his own work in our soul. He draws us back. And that's when he's precious, because he has taken us back into his presence. He never loses sight of his loved ones. That's why he is precious. How precious is the Lord Jesus to the restored soul as we come to him. To you who believe, he is precious. As believers, we grasp the suitability of Christ, the value as the only one that can save us from our sins. And as believers in the particular circumstances of our life, and particularly in the area of feeling the guilt of our sin, how deep and how hidden, how corrupt we are by nature, realizing the horrible, the exceeding sinfulness of sins, and then we look to the Savior. How precious he is, because he's redeemed us from our sin. And then, of course, in this example of our relapses, how precious is our Savior when we are restored to him. Well, here, now, this afternoon, the Emmanuel Baptist Church meeting place, we have a vivid portrayal of the preciousness of our Savior. We are reminded again by the elements that present the broken body, the shed blood of our Savior for us as believers in Christ. And now and here we have a time for us to remember how precious he is to our souls. And may I just remind you that the text says, believer, that is the one who is believing. The preciousness comes to us by the means of faith, our belief in such a great Savior. The Lord's Supper is the food of the soul that nourishes and strengthens the new man. May it do that to us tonight as we remember Christ.